You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Good Morning Lambo. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. I'm joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We got Jacob back in the house from Wisconsin, an undisclosed location in Wisconsin, we'll say. All right. But good to see you guys this morning. Tim, you doing all right? You see the PTA, you got the diesel cup ready to roll there.
Man, you know it, dude. You got to have it. I know Jacob's got one. Look at, hey, there it is. Cheers.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. And I'm the one who made the soup bowl, right? Because, you know, I like my coffee in kind of a bowl, right? And, of course, I ordered that bowl. It was like $35 from our merch store. And I get it, and I was like, oh, crap, bro. I mean, this thing is like this big. So I've got this PTA bowl sitting on the table, you know, just chilling. Throw some peanut M&Ms in there. We're ready to roll. You know what I mean? By the way, what's y'all's favorite hard candy? I got to know, man. Like, the peanut M&Ms have got me right now, dude. What do you think, Jacob? Just off the top of your head, man, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Man, I've never been a candy guy. I'm not a sweets guy.
That's right. You work out. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Go ahead. Yeah, not anymore. We got Jacob's on the IR right now. He's going to be back in there soon. Just a 4-week IR. We're good. Tim, what about you, man?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Peanut M&Ms for sure.
Pretty solid. Sure. Ain't
they? My wife's favorite too. Yeah, definitely.
They go good with the daddy soda too, man. Like you can drink a little beer.
And everything goes good with a daddy soda. You know that.
Great point, Tim. That's a great point. All right, so here's the plan today. Let me just kind of set the tone for the show. Appreciate everybody in the chat, man. It's already lit up. United Bates, William Gould, Andre, Sam Shaver, Miss Jen Wright in the house. Good to see you. M. Smitty, David Mitchell, like I said, Zane, Chris, everybody in here. Good to see everybody. Chewy, what's up, buddy? So every year I've got to compile some mock drafts that I do, like me personally, that I do, right? So what I'm going to do is try to knock two of those out right now. Now, obviously, this is post Xavier McKinney, post Josh Jacobs, post I think they signed Christian Welch, if I've seen that correctly. So you got some small pieces. Keyshawn Nixon, another one, are kind of in place now, right? So things change a little bit, needs change a little bit. So I say that because I'm going to get Jacob and Tim's take, you know, and who their pick may or may not be. But the end result, I'm going to make the pick myself, okay, so I can begin compiling this information. Just want to let everybody know that. Clayton's not being an a-hole over here going, I don't care what y'all think. I need to get this information because I'm falling behind on it. And you can kind of kill two birds with one stone here, doing it obviously live on the air. So with that being said, we're going to use the mock draft database again for our little hub here. Can you guys see that okay, or do I need to zoom in a little bit more, Jacob?
That's good. If you wanted to zoom maybe one more, it might be perfect.
See, is that better?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Cool. Yeah, that gives us a top five too. So that's great. So another thing that I'm doing here, gang, just so everybody knows, I've got my cheat sheet in front of me from my draft board. Okay. And I've also got my spreadsheet pulled up in another window. I can't flash it on the screen. I have to stop this screen. It'll just slow the whole process down. So I'll try to give you guys an idea of who I'm taking and why, that type of thing. Okay. So let's go ahead and get this first one cranked up. The goal is to do two, like we said. So we'll go ahead and start this one. I am going to be willing to accept at least one trade, okay? So just keep that in mind. Here we go. Jaden Daniels falling. Did you see that? That's interesting. All wow. Right. J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy all the way up to the 10th spot now as far as consensus, you know, draft board. That's just wild. All right, a couple of trades here. Let's just comb through so we can get – oh, my goodness gracious. We could trade down three spots and pick up a second, a fourth, and a fifth. Who is Buffalo after right here? That's what I want to know. So,
holy cow, Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders coming in too, offering us a second, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, a seventh, a seventh. That's wild. Do you think that would be unrealistic, Jacob? Be honest with me. If we accepted this trade from the Bills, should I just stay put for information purposes?
That's the only thing I don't like about mock base, is it just doesn't seem like it's realistic trades. I don't know. In my opinion, it seems a little far-fetched. But
cool. That's how I'm feeling too. So I'm just going to stay put. All right. Let's just draft where we're at. All right. Stick and pick, as they say. So we're picking at number 25, the top prospects available. What's that?
So you better not take that center.
Yeah. Oh, I will, buddy. Let me tell you something. If I want to, I will. And I will die on the battlefield of Twitter. All right. So top prospect available is J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Then you got Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. You've got Chop Robinson from Penn State. I don't know why they don't just put Chop there. That drives me crazy. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, okay, from Alabama. So you got Tyler Guyton down there at tackle as well. There's Graham Barton. He's been linked to the Packers. It's funny how the Packers are meeting with Graham Barton. Everybody's thinking they might take him number 25, but if you draft an offensive lineman with that first-round pick, you're just an idiot. So anyway, our top needs now, right? I think our top need is now officially cornerback, okay? Listen, we signed Keyshawn Nixon back, $6 million per. We got to look at the exact contract. Hopefully that'll drop today and see exactly how much is incentive base, what was inflated, what's the guaranteed money. It's probably a two-year deal instead of a three-year deal, and we'll just kind of see how that unfolds there. But I'm not sold on him being the slot corner, first of all. But more importantly, I think we need a corner opposite Jair Alexander. You know, worst case scenario, you draft one and you got depth there. Eric Stokes beats him out, right? So I kind of feel like corner is top need. Second need would be linebacker, seeing that Devondre's gone now. Obviously, Bobby Wagner was one of our top free agents. He went already out of free agency. Not that Goody won't sign anymore, but my top needs are corner, linebacker, and offensive line. Now, when it comes to offensive line, you can approach it a couple of different ways. We need a starting right guard, right? I think we need a starting center as well. You guys know how I feel about Josh Myers. So with that being said, if you do draft a tackle in this spot, you can kick Tom to right guard if you need to, if that tackle is a first-round pick. Now, you see the board isn't really falling that way, right? So if I take these top five prospects, let's just remove J.J. McCarthy. Jackson Powers Johnson, I've got him as the 21st best prospect on my board. He's 24th on consensus big board. That is a good quality pick right there with the 25th pick, right? Next is Chop Robinson, okay? I didn't even include edges because I don't plan on taking an edge early, although if the board fell just right, I would be okay with taking him. If you looked at my draft board here, he's the 13th best prospect. He is hands down the best prospect on my board right now as far as what we're potentially picking here. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I just said cornerback's top need, right? He's 27th on consensus big board. On mine, I've got him as the second best corner in the 18 spot. So he's actually higher than Jackson Powers Johnson. So if I were to trust my board completely right here and say, okay, if you're just taking best player available, you go Chop Robinson, right? But if you look at where the players are falling in the same tier, a similar tier there with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Chop Robinson, Kool-Aid McKinstry is the pick. Jackson Powers Johnson is an absolute stud. I would be okay with that pick here too. Here's the problem, and I want to get your all's take on this. These top offensive linemen are going to be gone before 41. So you either take it now or you're going to have to settle later. That's really how that falls into place. So do you reach a touch, quote unquote, reach a touch for an interior offensive lineman? Jacob, I think I know your take on this, but who would you take in this scenario right here? Uh-oh. Are you muted, buddy?
I think Jacob's muted.
Yep, my bad. If it's me, honestly, I would take Jackson Powers Johnson. I might even be crazy and take Barton and justify it because he can play tackle or any five positions.
But yeah.
Otherwise, Kool-Aid.
Gotcha. I don't think Barton would be a bad pick here either, man. That's a lot of versatility there. What do you think, Tim? What would you go here, man?
I think the same thing is true for Kool-Aid, though. Kool-Aid's not going to be on the board at 41 either. And me being the defensive guy, I'm going with the corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards because that's our biggest need, and these guys are in the same tier, right? That's how I'm kind of seeing it as far as mock draft databases concerned. So this is why we keep saying trade back, trade back, trade back. Like if we had traded back to 28th, you're going to get they'll probably make the decision for you, and you can still get one of your top guys and pick up that extra second round pick. But like Jacob pointed out, it's just very, very unrealistic, man. It really is. So for me, if it comes down to Chop Robinson, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Jackson Powers Johnson, all right, Kool-Aid's 18th ranked. Powers Johnson's 21st. I'm going to have to go. Now, here's the thing, too. Center is a position of tier two importance. I think we would all agree the Packers are pretty set on Josh Myers. I think they like him. Do you guys disagree with that? It seems like he's got bad pictures of somebody or something because they're just
no, going I totally agree with that, but I still see them bringing in some young talent.
Competition, you know? Maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the thing, too. If Jackson Powers Johnson can compete for center, if Myers beats him out, then you kick him over to right guard. It's still a win-win there. That's a good point, right? If he can play right guard, that's the question. Let me look at that real quick on the draft board or on the PFF side. Let's see if Powers Johnson has ever played anything else other than center. This last year, 829 snaps at center. In 2022, he played 350 snaps at right guard. That makes a lot of sense, boys. They're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. But, oh, my God. Again, top need.
Well, plus, look, Deadfish says it's the last year of Myers' contract, so it actually might be a win-win. You put a little fire under his butt, and then you can move him if you need to.
That's a good point. And when you look at corner, you know, we've got somewhat of a need at slot, but it's mainly outside. Of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the top 10 corners on my cheat sheet here from my draft board, there's only one that I would consider a slot, and that's Sainer still, right? Some people were going, what about Cooper DeJean? Cooper DeJean has played primarily outside last year. Now, has he played slot in the past? Yeah. But that's not where they put him last year, right? He could play safety in a pinch, all that good stuff. I got you. But with the corners, I think you're going to have a shot at corner a little later, but you won't have a shot at the best center in the draft. It's tough. That's a tough decision. I'm going to do what I think the Packers will do since it's so close. Jacob, you're going to hate it. I'm going to go Kool-Aid McKinstry here. All right. And again, I think that the Packers are looking at Josh Myers like,
look at this. Like him. No way.
What is it?
The most unrealistic trade offer in NFL history.
Oh, you're talking about the second, the fifth, the sixth, the third next year, the sixth. Yeah, we just got to close this out.
No, I'm looking at who made it through that gauntlet.
Holy cow. I think this is easy. Actually, it's not so easy, guys. It's actually not so easy because Jackson Powers Johnson's sitting there, right? Obviously, he's the best prospect. But now you got the same question comes up with linebacker, right? Are these guys going to be available at 58? Because linebacker's a need, too. Now, first of all, what did we just take? We took let me see here. We just went with Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? Let me mark these down so I don't lose them. All right, so we went cornerback, outside corner, right? So it's going to be hard to pass up on Jackson Powers Johnson right here, man. That makes all the sense in the world, don't it? Yeah, and there's your boy, Zach Frazier. You like Zach Frazier a lot, too, don't you, Jacob?
I do.
Yeah, I do. I do declare. I've got him as the 34th best prospect. So he's pretty close probably to where you like him. So the top prospects for those of you on the pod is Jackson Powers Johnson, center, interior offensive line, Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon, Zach Frazier, interior offensive line, linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, safety, Tyler Newbin. And here's what's crazy. Now that you signed McKinney, you notice we're not like, oh, we got to take Newbin here. We don't, do we? Because you can get you a box safety. I don't think it's bad that you would take him there, but you can get you a box safety a little bit later, right? Or if you do bring back Rudy Ford, maybe he can be your box safety, that safety opposite of Xavier McKinney. Another thing to point out, too, we showed the versatility of Xavier McKinney on Chalk Talk, right? How he can play in the box or play in the slot, man coverage, cover that Y if you need him to. He can get back in a cover two man. He can play center field. That's what he does best, I think, kind of roaming deep center third. But in the NFL today, NFL teams want the safeties to be able to play both spots. That's why you've seen, like on that interception, that toe drag swag interception he had, he was actually cheating up like he was going to be the spinner, right? And he was going to rotate in as a robber. And then at the last second, bang, the guy who was deep was the one who played robber, and he faded back deep. That's what I'm talking about. Defenses across the league, they want safeties to be able to play multiple positions. But anyway, Tyler Newbin there at 44. You got Braden Fisk at 45, Peyton Wilson at 46. So if I take a peek over at linebacker real quick, Junior Colson is hands down my best linebacker, okay? And Junior Colson sitting in the 54th spot. I've got Junior Colson in the 49th spot on my board. Then it drops down to Peyton Wilson at 62, Cedric Gray 66, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 79. That's how mine. I've actually got Edgerrin Cooper as the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth best linebacker in this draft. And some people were going, how can that be, Clayton? Let me explain it to you real quick. Let me go to linebackers on this other tab. And I want to show you guys, or at least explain to you guys, Edgerrin Cooper, okay? Edgerrin Cooper, if I remember correctly, yeah, right here. 2021 PFF grade, 64. 2022, 66. And then last year, 90.8. So, like, you haven't seen the consistency from Edgerrin Cooper from a PFF standpoint, right? That's one. And, again, PFF isn't everything. But when you look at these other linebackers, they're a lot more consistent. Junior Colson, just to kind of draw a parallel on why he's so big on my board, 2021, 48. 2022, 75. 2023, 81. So you can see a lot more consistency there, right? That's the reason that I'm a little bit bigger on Junior Colson, that and some other people that I trust have him a little higher. So anyway, back to the mock draft. Who are you taking here, boys? I got to know. Jacob, go ahead. Who are you taking here?
JPJ, run it in. Run it in.
What's that?
Cosign, JPJ. Let's go.
You guys are sold, isn't it? It makes all the sense in the world, man. You can potentially get your starting center of the future. Also, he can plug and play at right guard if you just want Myers' contract to expire. I mean, your offensive line gets instantly better. We know it's a need. I think we need a starter at right guard and a couple of backups, a backup tackle, a backup interior offensive lineman. I'm doing it, man. We're going Jackson, Powers, Johnson. If you guys want to include the chat a little bit, anything you see over there, let me know. And you read it off, and we'll kind of respond to it too. But I'm going to go Jackson, Powers, Johnson here at number 41. God, what a steal that is, dude.
Holy cow. Seemed like the chat wanted that pretty much overwhelmingly.
Sweet. Good deal, man. Yeah. Let's go interior offensive line. Get your fake trades out of here, dude. All right. Ooh. So here we are at 58, and look who's on the board. My top linebacker sitting there, Junior Colson. Edgerrin Cooper's at the top of the list, according to the mock draft database, in the number 43 spot. Again, I've got Edgerrin Cooper significantly lower than Junior Colson. Junior Colson's my 49th best prospect. And we're potentially going to get him at 58. You've got Tyler Newbin sitting there. Remember what I just said about safeties being able to play both roles in the NFL today, right? I think Tyler Newbin can do that. Tyler Newbin is hands down the best safety in this draft. We still need a starting safety. We need that safety that's going to play opposite of Xavier McKinney, right? The cool thing is, you notice how the Giants used Xavier McKinney on that short little chalk talk I did, how they were rotating him into the box like we just talked about playing man coverage. Tyler Newbin, if he's versatile enough to play that post safety, imagine how that frees up Xavier McKinney to do more, much like we use Charles Woodson in that nickel spot. You know how we would kind of move him around a lot, blitz him a lot? He could just kind of play free. If you draft Tyler Newbin here, you kind of got that. The problem is, I think linebacker is a bigger need. To me, tier two positions of importance, that free safety, that deep safety, deep third, that guy, Xavier McKinney, we've already got it checked off the list. Not that a box safety isn't important, right? But the other tier two position of importance on defense is inside linebacker. So I think I would rather go Junior Colson here. Again, I'm using my draft board on off the side here that you guys can't see. Junior Colson, in my opinion, is the best linebacker in this draft as it sits right now. So that would be my pick. Let's go around the horn here once. Jacob, what do you think, bud?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we should use this. This is supposed to be your picks, right? So
I want to know what you would do, though.
I honestly think I'd go Colson as well.
Would you? Okay, cool. Yeah. Tim, what do you think, bub?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's value at any one of these. Cooper, Newbin, or Colson at 58 is good, but I'm with you guys. I'd go Junior Colson. As shocked as I am that you're not going to draft your draft crush right here.
Right,
and you're going to watch him disappear from this board after this pick. But I would go linebacker. I think you're right. You know, we've got a piece there with Quay, but that's pretty much it. We need some talent at linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Newbin is the best player available on my board. There's no doubt. He's in the 28th spot. Junior Colson's in the 49th spot. Again, if we hadn't drafted or if we hadn't signed Xavier McKinney, I'd feel totally different. But now it comes down to positions of importance, right? And we don't know for sure if Quay's that guy, right? I hope he is. And even if he is, you're going to be in the nickel 70% of the time. You're 4-2-5 nickel, right? So you're going to need two backers on the field. Who is the linebacker as it sits right now that lines up next to Quay, right? Who is it? I guess it's Duff, right? McDuffie? Yeah. So as it says, if we still had Devondre Campbell right now, I would kind of be like, you know what? If Campbell gets healthy and he's got another year or two left in him and they trust him, maybe I go Tyler Newbin here. But the fact that linebacker room is so depleted and you got the best linebacker in the draft, in my opinion, you guys may disagree. It's totally cool. I'm going to go Junior Colson here and get this linebacker kind of buttoned up. People are seeing Adrian Cooper and go, what are you doing? Just trust me. This is a, don't be surprised. I said this about several players, right? And listen, this isn't me watching the tape going, this guy's a way better football player. This is me compiling a bunch of data from people who know what the hell they're talking about. Not the random Joes that pretend like they know everything about the draft. Former scouts, former execs, websites that are built by them. You know, you got people like Daniel Jeremiah, who is a pro scout. You know, you notice I never mentioned Mel Kiper Jr. Never. There's a reason for that. He hasn't been in the draft room, right? Like, I know he's covered the draft for so long, and he's a fun, cool TV personality. But I want guys who have been in a draft room. Scott Pioli, people like that, right? So I'm going Junior Colson here with the number 58 pick, and that gets you your starting linebacker next to Quay. So, bang. I know they wouldn't like the pick, because obviously they had a linebacker higher than him, but that's okay. They reserve the right to be wrong. So, all right, here we go. Number 88. Look who is still there. Holy cow. Wow. What is going on? What just happened here? Was it because the safety market was so flooded? You think that's what it was?
Wow.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So you don't get Newbin, but we could get Cam Kitchens.
Yep. Now think about this. If we hadn't took Jackson Powers Johnson earlier to potentially play right guard, if Myers is able to beat him out at center, you're looking at Christian Haynes here too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Max Melton, man. Max Melton.
But again, we took corner early, right?
I don't care.
You don't care. You don't care.
I don't care.
I love it.
So what we're talking about here,
tell
guys,
you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you. That was a perfect drop. So people on the pod, what we're talking about, Cam Kitchens is sitting here at 88 somehow, some way. Jonathan Brooks is sitting here at 66. Now, I'm gonna break a few people's hearts here. Right. When we started the process at the end of the college season last year, Jonathan Brooks was one of my top running backs. I officially have Jonathan Brooks listed as the 7th best back in this draft. Isn't that wild? Like my top running back is Trey Benson in the 37th spot, then Blake Corum at 39, Audric Estime at 43, Frank Gore Jr. at 59, Bucky Irvin at 65, Ray Davis at 70, and I got Jonathan Brooks in the 80 spot. And many people are rolling their eyes. They probably disagree. That's totally cool. But that's what – everything that I've compiled together, that's what it could – now, could it be the ACL dropped him down a bit? Could be. They're saying he's going to be healthy. But if you got two players – this is the best way to approach it. You got two players at a position that are ranked exactly the same, and you go, okay, what's their injury history? And you got one that, well, no, they played great last year. They look good. They look healthy. And the other one, it's way towards ACL. He should be back July 1. Who are you taking in that same tier, right? So that's why I think he's dropped as far as he has. So with that being said, top prospects available. Cam Kitchens, safety out of Miami. Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas, which I disagree that he's a top prospect there. Christian Haynes, interior offensive lineman from UConn in the 68 spot. Max Melton in the 69 spot, cornerback from Rutgers. Defensive lineman Mason Smith from LSU. So if we were to look at the top five players here, Jacob, who would you take in this scenario? Man, that's a tough one. There were Cam Kinch and Jonathan Brooks, Christian Haynes, and your boy Max Milton.
Yeah, I mean, personally, and you got to keep in mind that we're picking another, you know, three picks here. So a little bit of logic with that. But
very good point, yeah.
I personally would do Haynes first and try to snag Melton after.
So you would just ignore Kitchens here, you think?
I just am not a Kitchens fan. I know Jake Shavink loves him, but I like, gotcha. I think we can still get Hicks and a few other good, I think Bullard would still be around. So,
yeah. And just for the record, I did not want to sway you in any way possible, right? I've got Cam Kitchens listed in the 85 spot. They've got him at 61 here. Yeah. So I'm with you on that. I think he would be worth the 88th pick, but I'm with you. It's not like he's just a slam dunk for me. What do you think, Tim? First, I'm sorry. Jacob, what did you say your pick was?
I'd go Haynes first and then try to snag Melton.
Got it. Okay, got it. Go ahead, Tim.
I like the Christian Haynes pick here. I do. I'm somewhere in between Jake and Jacob with Cam Kitchens too. I don't think that would be a bad move either way. You know, strength in numbers kind of scenario. Get him in on a rookie deal. Hopefully you can develop him. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out.
Right.
I don't know. My gut's telling me offensive line again. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't be mad, honestly, with Cam Kitchens.
I got you. Christian Haynes, I've got in the 30s spot. Cam Kitchens, I got in the 85th spot. Go ahead, Jacob.
Sorry, yeah, Deadfish was just saying, and it kind of gets you excited. It goes Jenkins, JPJ, and Haynes is a nice front to have Jacobs to run behind.
Yeah, buddy.
Y'all going to sell me on it. Again, he's 30th on my board, man. At 88? Come on, dude. Christian Haynes is my top pick right now. Let's just comb through him. Obviously, Jonathan Brooks got him in the 80 spot. I talked about Cam Kitchens being in the 85th spot. Max Melton, he is not in my top. I've only got all the way listed down to number 71 at corner on this cheat sheet, so he doesn't fall in that spot just yet.
Mason, I think Jacob's right. He could be there at 91.
Yeah. I think you're right, too, yeah. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I've got him listed as my fourth best running back. He's in the 79 spot, nowhere near. I'm so glad we went Junior Colson, man. Oh, my gosh. They're suggesting a running back, Blake Corum. Blake Corum is my second best running back. Let me do this real quick. I just want to take a quick peek. Although now it's amazing. 4 days ago, people would roast you for not taking a running back early. Now they're going to go, what are you doing? We got Josh. It's called trusting the board. All right, so Trey Benson is off the board, okay? So my best running back's already gone. Blake Corum's my second best. He's in the 76th spot. There's a chance he could be there at 91. And just to kind of compare it across the board, Blake Corum, I've got him as the 39th best prospect, okay? So he's pretty high on the board. With that being said, Christian Haynes ranked 30th on my board. If we were just following my board, this one makes all the sense in the world. So it is kind of hard to pass up on Cam Kitchens, but I got to trust my board if that's what this exercise is about. I'm going Christian Haynes, right guard. So now what you've got is competition at center, and you're deep on the interior at offensive line, right?
Holy crap, Kitchens is still on the board.
Wonder why, guys. Who was it? Can you guys remember who it was that was saying that they didn't like Cam Kitchens from the start? I'm telling you, man. I don't quite see it, and I'm not dogging the ones who do like him. He may turn into a great player, but I looked at some of the tape. I'm looking at the PFF grades. I'm going, why is everybody? And I ask, I go, why do you like him? Why do you like him? Other than Jake Shavink, no one can tell me why they like him. Other than he's rated high. It's like I don't get it. But again, we went right guard there. I feel like we fixed the offensive line problems. Yeah. I mean, completely. If Jackson Powers Johnson ends up being as good as people are saying he's going to be, we got our center of the future. You got your right guard of the future. But you don't have to kick Tom in from right tackle, right? I love the way this is falling into place here. All right, up next, 91st spot, your boy Max Melton's still there. Cam Kitchens still there. Jonathan Brooks is still there. Mason Smith, Amagaji at tackle from Yale. You got Devontae Walker. Wide receiver from North Carolina, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. still there. So if we were to look at my board, Cam Kitchens is probably the best of these top guys on my board right now. Let's see. Jonathan Brooks is actually 80th, so he would be the best.
You think Max Melton can play in the slot?
Let's take a quick look here. I'd like to see let me see if he ever played in the slot. I think he's more of an outside corner, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Let me scroll down here real quick. I'm on another screen. Give me just 1 second. He's 6 foot. He played corner, technical corner outside, 487 snaps. He was only in the slot 60 times. He was in the box 58 times. So when you look at his snaps from all last three seasons, primarily outside, Tim. So,
okay.
And you already got Kool-Aid, right? So let's go around the horn. Jacob, what do you think, bub? Who would you take here?
I mean, I'm running Max Melton right to the podium for sure. Get that Melton Brothers thing going. It'd be so good. So good.
He'd probably be an upgrade over Stokes on the boundary.
Well, it's the thing is you tackle the corner position. That's done. Offensive line is done. We can spend the rest of the draft either going after safeties or linebackers or maybe some D-line.
Yeah.
And a running back.
What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I here's the thing though. We know for sure if we don't take Max now, he's probably not on the board at 126. So my gut's telling me to go with Jacob here and just take him.
Yeah. Talking about Max.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So the way I'm looking at it, you got Eric Stokes and you've also got Kool-Aid McKinstry to play outside. The only corner that I've got that I really feel like is an actual slot corner here would be Sane Rasteel. He was 56 on my board, and it looks like he is long gone. Okay, so we've kind of missed that window, in my opinion. If you were to look at safeties, I'm going to hop over to the other screen real quick and see where exactly Kenshin's lined up the majority of the time.
Amelia's in the chat.
What's that?
I said Emilio's in the chat.
Of course he is. He ain't working. He ain't working.
Emilio!
All right, so Cam Kenshin's actually played starting in 2021. He played in the slot 255 snaps, and it dipped to 117, dipped to 113. So he has probably more slot experience than any of the corners that are actually available here. Not that you're, you know, you give Keyshawn Nixon $6 million per. I think they think he's their slot.
Yeah,
you follow the money, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to shy away from corner a little bit, and I'm going to focus on the best prospect available on the board. If I were to do that, like if I look at linebacker here, right? I just took a quick glance at the linebacker room. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I got in the 79th spot. Again, we're picking 91st right now. Tommy Eichenberg, I've got him in the 158 spot. Let's see, Ulofoshio down here in the 156 spot. I've got him in the 130 spot. Hands down, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is the best linebacker that's on the board right now for me, okay? So 79, right? Another position, people are going to hate it, but we need a third running back, right? Let's see, Jake Shavik, what did he just say? I need to see that. Green Bay has scouts at the Clemson Pro Day looking at Trotter, perhaps. It's funny we're talking about that. He puts that up there right now. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., 79th on my board. We've hammered offensive line because the board fell perfectly like that. We still need a slot corner, which nothing makes sense right now. We need that box safety. Cam Kenshin's is 85th on my board. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., 79th. Again, that inside linebacker position is tier two of importance for me, so that would trump him. So we go Jeremiah Trotter Jr. But then here's the big question. Blake Corum is hands down the best prospect on my board right now at 39. Okay, so if we look at where he's coming up here overall, we're picking 91st right now. Okay, where is Blake Corum at? Is he already gone? Did he go? Oh, I'm on linebackers.
You're linebackers.
Yeah, I got worried there. I was like, when did he go? So Blake Corum is sitting in the 76th spot, most likely won't be there at 90 or at 126. This kind of feels like you take Blake Corum here. I need Jake's input too. Jake in the chat, where do you have Blake Corum? Do you think he's worthy of the 91st pick? Just real quick, bud, how do you feel about Blake Corum? And we will not sit here and be quiet until he answers. So that to me that's a good point, Hip. Hip says Brooks is a better fit than Corum with JJ. The problem is I'd have to really reach on my board, and I want to kind of stick to this draft board that we've created. So, to me, it's between Blake Corum and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. These are the tough decisions right here, man. I want to get Jake's take here real quick. Just give me a little something on Blake Corum if you think he's worthy of this pick, Jake. Jake may have stepped away too. All right, Jake says I'd be completely fine with him at 91. I would too. I think he's not going to be there. Right. You've got Emmanuel Wilson. You just picked up Josh Jacobs, obviously. If you've got Blake Corum backing up Josh Jacobs, And then Emmanuel Wilson will probably walk in free agency after this year. Yeah, Jake says processing speed plus elusiveness. Yeah, I think this is tough, man. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is one of my biggest draft crushes, right? So it's like choosing a running back over one of my biggest crushes is – it's tough. But we also went and got our other stack backer in that nickel, right? And the board suggests he's a much, much, much better player. I'm going to pull the trigger here, and I'm going Blake Corum, running back. We're going to catch some hate for that, no doubt about it, but that's all right. That, I think the two offensive linemen, people are going to roast me over that one, no doubt. So, all right, now here we are at 126. We got defensive lineman Leonard Taylor. You've got interior offensive lineman Christian Mahogany. You've got wide receiver Johnny Wilson, defensive line Dwayne Carter, running back Will Shipley, Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State. You got Javon Baker, wide receiver out of UCF. Jake, shut up. We're not taking a wide receiver. You're not getting me canceled again. Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. Jamari Thrash, wide receiver from Louisville. Jacob, what would you go right here, man?
I don't like this.
I can't believe you took Blake Corum with the Rasul Douglas pick.
Oh, that's rough.
I mean, it just hit me. I love it.
I don't like that.
I like it even more now.
can you scroll down just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a certain position you want to see too or no?
I mean, I'm just looking at I would love to go with Ben Sinnott, but now I just don't feel like the Packers value tight end until way later in the draft with the group we have. I don't know. I don't know on that. I'm not going to be any help here. I refuse to answer.
He said, I refuse to be a part of this mess of a mock draft.
Jake says, not Lil Wayne, but Big Wayne.
Dwayne Carter time. He's saying it's Dwayne Carter time. We need a defensive lineman, right? I don't think I'm very big on Dwayne Carter. Let me double check real quick. I've got Ora Ora at the 72 spot. Where's Dwayne Carter? I kind of feel like Dwayne Carter was pretty low on my board.
Yeah, I didn't have him very high, but I was kind of coming around on him. I wonder if Ben Sinnott, because he could play like who was talking that? Sam Shaver in the chat says Sinnott plays fullback too. So I wonder if we did end up getting rid of DeGuara, if he slipped into more of that H-back role.
Right. I've heard multiple people mention it. I wonder, Jake, do you feel like Sinnott can play that H? Because I don't know a whole lot about him. I've got Dwayne Carter in the 117 spot. What pick are we at right now, guys?
126.
120. Okay. Yeah, so that's good good quality there, you know.
Take a look at safety again real quick?
Safety? Yeah, let's do it, man.
See if there's anything.
Oh, looky here, a lot of Poe. Yeah, getting a lot of Poe. I think I'm saying that right. He's one that doesn't he have – I'm just not big on him on my board. This is one of those guys, though, that we talked about can be a box safety, right?
Yes.
150 might be a little bit of a reach right now too, right?
Yep. I'd almost hang around for Malik Mustafa.
That's what I was just going to say, yep.
Very good point. I've got Malik Mustafa as my fourth best safety in the 120 spot. I'm with you on that. Malik Mustafa would be one to take away, for sure.
Shavink says that Sinnott absolutely can play the H-back role. So
got it. And you know, the reality is, if DeGuara is truly gone, they're not going to bring him back. We don't have an H right now. Now, does Matt LaFleur want to get away from the H and get more into the U sets, right, to where you can have, you know, you don't have those two guys in the backfield like that? That could be the case. I would be okay with Sinnott. Let me check my board real quick. I was trying to find him on my board. I didn't see him anywhere right off the bat. My best tight end is Jatavion Sanders, which he's probably gone, I'm sure. I've got him in the 24 spot, actually. Let's see. Cade Stover is my second best tight end in the 48 spot. Ben Sinnott, where are you at, dude? Man, he must be way down here, guys. Let's see. There's Dallin Holker, unless I'm overlooking him. Tied in at the 86 spot.
Can't find Sinnott, huh?
I've got him way down here, man. unless I've overlooked him here. I may have overlooked him. There's Tanner McLaughlin. He might be higher, and I just overlooked him. I thought I had him higher than that, so I think I did overlook him. It's so hard to see, man. I'm getting old, fellas. These eyes are getting old. Jatavion Sanders, all right. Where is Ben Sinnott? There's the 48 spot. This is a great podcasting right here, boys. Clayton coming through a spreadsheet talking about giving play-by-play on why his old ass can't find a specific player. Funny how that works. Yeah, I'm not seeing him. I may not have him on my board at the moment. Again, this isn't finalized, so that's probably what's happened. Yeah, I imagine that's what's happened. Yeah, he's at the bottom. I've got him ungraded right now. That's what it is. Okay, cool. So we could go Ben Sinatra if we wanted to. How often are we going to be in a set, though, where you're going to need an H, right? That's the big question. As far as needs, we talked about corner being a need. We took one. Interior offensive lineman being a need. We took one. Linebacker being a need. We took we're talking about potentially getting a defensive lineman that could compete for a interior defensive spot with like Devontae Wyatt, because we think there's a good chance Kenny Clark won't be back next year. That's a possibility. We took running back, so we're good there. I think it just comes down to best player available, and this is where it gets a little bit, we're going to have to trust this board over anything else. So if we go back to the overall board, Leonard Taylor to me makes all the sense in the world how it sits right now. I think it's good quality from where my board sits. It's probably the last one I look at my board on. So let's go Leonard Taylor, number 96 prospect at 126 out of Miami. And, of course, they liked it. They said A+. So there's our defensive lineman. Boom. You see how we're matching up needs with how the board's currently sitting? Like, rather than just go, all right, we need to take this first, that second, you can kind of – oh, my God, look at Ray Davis sitting there. Can't do it now, though. We already went Blake Corum, right? And that was your fault, Jacob. That was your pick. So what are you guys thinking here? We got Ray Davis, running back out of Kentucky, cornerback Elijah Jones out of Boston College, Tanner Bordellini, interior offensive lineman out of Wisconsin, Javen Solomon, edge defender out of Troy, and then cornerback Smith Wade, I guess how you say it, in the 145 spot. What are you thinking, Jacob? I can look at any position too, man.
I really like Elijah Jones just because him and Halfley worked together. He was considered, he's been considered the smartest DBs in the draft, and he actually tested out pretty well. He ran a 4.5. I think he's rangy too. I think he's like 6'2, 6'3 ish, and I think he was a really good tackler. So,
I just pulled his card over here. Tim, listen to this card on Elijah Jones. Like Jacob said, he's 6'2, right? 6'2, PFF grade 72, 65, 86 last year. Okay, he lined up in the slot 109 times. He played outside 363 snaps and in the box 35 times. So 100 snaps in the slot, that's pretty significant. That's the most he's had in his entire college career. That's actually, to put that into perspective, the year before in 2022, he played 494 snaps on the outside, right? And he only played 60 in the slot. This past year, 363 outside, 109 in the slot. I'm telling you, man, Jeff Halfley might have his eyes on Elijah Jones. According to PFF, he's number 121 on the big board. And then obviously here they got him at 139, and we're picking him at 169. This might be a potential answer to the slot. This makes a lot of sense, don't it, Tim?
It does. I still don't see a safety in our draft, so I'm a little concerned there. Maybe we can what do we pick next? 201 or something?
202, 219.
Yeah, so we could probably get maybe a guy like Mustafa at 202.
Yeah.
Maybe Devontae Richardson, Trey Taylor. We got some guys.
Yeah, so we've got ability. Yeah, I think if you want to go corner here, especially a guy who can play in the slot, I would agree with that. And then, like you said, you got the Boston College connection there with Coach Half. So
yeah, Halfley ties. You know, according to this board, which is what we're going to start leaning on now because my cheat sheet was just top heavy. This makes all the sense in the world. He's in the top tier of talent. He can play a little slot. He's got connections with your new DC. I think it makes a lot of sense. Let's go Elijah Jones here. Elijah Jones at 169. Bang.
So we'll take it.
Cornerback. And we'll put slot next to him just so we know. So we're pretty much done at corner. I understand you're concerned at safety too, Tim. My big issue is you're going for a safety that's you're going for a guy who's going to kind of play in the box, right? And you just spend all that money on Xavier McKinney. It doesn't mean you completely neglect that other safety spot. In the back of my mind, too, I'm kind of thinking the backside of free agency. What has Goody always done? He's double dip. Like when he wants a tight end, he's taking two tight ends, right? When he wants a wide receiver, he's taking two wide receivers, all these things. I'm wondering if that's kind of his when he's wanting an edge defender, right? He took two in Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, in free agency. I'm wondering if on the backside of free agency, he's going to go out and try to get another safety. I'm still holding out for hope, too, that Rudy Ford may be returning. So obviously, yeah. Rudy Ford had the best passer rating when targeted amongst safeties last year, if I remember correctly. So Joe Milton.
I just feel like we need bodies back there, man. You know, like McKinney's that dude for sure, for sure. Right, right. It's like, then what, you know?
Yeah. It's and you've either got to do it the way you're talking about doing it here late in the draft, Tim, or you got to do it late in free agency, right? And pick up some of the like Jacob likes to do over at Ross. You know what I'm saying? Get that Clarence drag.
Get that 2 for 20, man.
2 for 20. All right. So at 202, he's gone, ain't he, boys? Wait, maybe he ain't. Mustafa. He's still there. So there. I like Mustafa at this pick, Tim. This kind of gives us what you're talking about, dude. And I'm so glad you identified him early in this process, too. With Mustafa, again, I've got him. He is my fourth best safety. I've got him in the 120 spot, right? And you see here with the mock draft database, they've got him in the 200 spot. So my board, I mean, significantly higher on my board, obviously. When you go to PFF and we look at Mustafa, his snap count, this is awesome. This makes all the sense in the world, boys. Box count, 327 snaps in the box, 144 in the slot. So he is a box slot top safety. PFF grades, 62, 71, 79. He gets better every year. So, bottom line, Mustafa has the skill set and mentality of a throwback strong safety. Listen at this. He does not have the fluidity or long speed to be relied upon in single high roles, but his toughness, power, and motor make him an ideal depth safety to draft and develop, likely starting with the special teams role. So that's
man, put him back there with McKinney and let's go.
All right, here we go. We're going to go Malik Mustafa in the 202 spot at safety. Look at that. Look at that grade right there, boys. We did good. So we went with a strong safety in Mustafa. I love that he can play slot in a pinch too. So if you want to go to a little Okie, you want to throw a little three safety sets in there, Mustafa could potentially play slot for you and a decent tackler there in the box too. So
yeah, like there we go.
All right, up next, 219, best prospects available. Dylan Lobb? Is that how you say his name?
Lobby.
I am not a fan of him, guys. Listen, I don't mean to discriminate, but watching him try to play to the camera the entire combine just screamed of someone who's just going to be a me guy. And I don't – it's like every time they put him on camera, he wanted to play to the camera. And it was just weird. He had this just weird vibe about him, the comb-over haircut and everything. I'm going, I just don't know about this dude. Am I wrong there, Jacob? Do you like him? Because I think Ryan's kind of high on him, right? Am I thinking right?
I can't remember. He definitely gives off some strong date rape vibes or like
dog story. So it wasn't just me.
Kendall. Yeah.
Okay. Allegedly. We got to say allegedly. All right. Jacob's going to be sued over here. Good God almighty. It's going to come out on PFT today. They're going to come out and say, Packers says that Dylan Lobby is a state rapist. Good God almighty. All right. What are we thinking here? You got him out of New Hampshire. You got Xavier Thomas, edge defender out of Clemson. You got Tip Ryman, tied in out of Illinois. Obviously, the punter doesn't matter. Marcellus Dial, cornerback out of South Carolina. Keith Randolph, junior defensive lineman out of Illinois. What are you thinking here, guys? What are you laughing about, Jacob? What the heck's wrong with you?
Meltdown Corey says somebody call SVU.
Yikes.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
I like kind of what Brett Rogers is saying. Scroll down, and if you see, I don't know how to say his last name the right way, I don't think. Isaac Guarendo. But that dude is a physical freak of nature, and I don't like Blake Corum. But that's just me.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. If we hadn't taken Blake Corum, we would have probably got Max Melton. And the one that's catching my attention here, Frank Gore Jr., he's my fourth best running back. He's ranked 59th. So if there's anything we learn, we're going to blame Jake Chevink for that Blake Corum pick. All right? I'm taking all responsibilities off of me now, putting it on. Nah. You could probably wait. Now that you got Josh Jacobs, you could probably wait much later in the draft and get really, really good quality out of like a Frank Gore Jr.'s one. There was another guy here that I seen earlier. Let's just take a quick peek at the running backs. Not that we're going to take one right now, but like you said, the RAS and everything off the charts with the Corendo, right? Frank Gore Jr., I think, is a good back. There was another one here too. Jason McClellan, someone was talking about him the other day. They like him a lot. That's Frank Gore Jr. is hands down my best running back right now that's available. He's actually the only one that's left in my top 100 amongst running backs in the 59 spot. So if I had to do it over again, I would not have taken Blake Corum. I would have waited later and got Frank Gore Jr. to be that third back personally. But, yeah. So as far as what we're going to take here, we've already taken corner. We've taken interior offensive line. We took linebacker, right guard, running back, defensive line, cornerback, more specifically a slot, and then a strong safety hybrid type. I think you just kind of stick best player available. We haven't taken an edge yet, have we, boys?
Xavier Thomas.
It makes all the sense in the world, don't it, Tim?
It makes more sense than taking another running back here, in my opinion. I
completely concur, my friend. What do you think, Jacob? Would you be okay with Xavier Thomas here, man?
Yes.
All right. I think that makes the most sense right here, the way the board sits. If this was our board, best player available, tier one of importance. Obviously, J.J. and Igbaré going to be coming back from the ACL, so we need that extra rotational edge defender coming out of Clemson. I think it was Jake just mentioned a second ago the Packers are in town for the pro day for Clemson. This might be a guy that they got their eyes on too. Let's do it. Let's go. Xavier Thomas got an A-plus there. So there's our edge defender. We got that checked off the list. I love that we're not deviating from the board. We're drafting by overall talent, right? Best player available, but we're matching it up with needs within that top tier. That's the goal here, right? So, all right, now picking at 245, then we got pick 255. You got running back Jair Jordan, offensive tackle Julian Pearl. We haven't taken offensive tackle yet, have we, boys?
We have not.
No. Yeah, and we're talking about going into this draft, I felt like we needed a starting right guard, a backup interior offensive lineman, and a starting – or a backup offensive tackle. This makes
all – We go O-line twice here to close it out for all I care.
Can you pull up the tackles quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a guy from – yeah, there's Ethan Driscoll, but there was a dude from – I don't see him – SDSU who was getting drafted later who was – I thought he was really great, but doesn't look like
he's – stud action. Gotcha. I think it makes a lot of sense here, man. We're picking at 245. You're getting 198th best prospect. He's hands down the best offensive tackle that's available. It matches our big board at the top of the list. I think you draft him here. That gives you a good opportunity to maybe hit on another Rashid Walker, right? Someone who could sit and develop for a year or two, play the backup role. Who's your swing tackle right now? That's the question, right? You got Rashid Walker playing left tackle, Zach Tom playing right tackle. We don't have to move Zach Tom because we were able to get a starting caliber center and a starting caliber guard, in my opinion. So who is your swing tackle right now? It's just Caleb Jones, right? So he's going to come in and compete with Caleb Jones. I'm not sold on Caleb. I love Caleb's size. I think he's a great dude. You look at, he's an absolute monster out there when you see him on the field, but I just don't know how he's going to hold up. And I think
he's a swing tackle either. I think the little bit we've seen of him has been on the right side.
Yeah. Seems like it has. So, all right, let's go Julian Pearl here. Bang. I thought we were going to actually get two mock drafts in. How silly. I'm so cute. He's so silly. All right. Last pick of the draft. Again, we went tackle right there. Let me put that down on the list.
All Jake, right, what do you think of Jordan Morgan at linebacker? I really like him.
Is he he's a prospect, Jordan Morgan?
Jordan McGee, sorry.
McGee. From Temple. Is he on the board right now? Okay, you're right here. Gotcha, Temple. 260.
He graded out really well in PFF.
Did he? Okay. Let's see here. So if we go to all prospects, there's another offensive tackle, Tylan Grable. You got running back Mayim Williams. You got linebacker Tyrese Knight. We've only taken one linebacker, and I said we needed a starter and two backups. So might make sense to go with another backer here to finish this thing out. Best available would be Tyrese Knight out of UTEP. I think that would be my pick here. Best available. Matches the wait a minute. We wasn't at the top. What am I doing? Hold up a second. All right, there we go. We were way down. Yeah, so we got cornerback Willie Drew. We said we needed a starting slot, a starting outside corner, and a backup. We have taken two corners. So that makes the most sense here. Willie Drew out of Virginia State. That gives you another corner. It's a position of need. He's the top overall talent. If my board lined up like this, this is who I would take. If we wanted to take a tight end, you could go Tanner McLaughlin. That's the suggestion right here. What are you thinking?
Jake says McGee is 228, would have to be the will.
Got it. Wait, I tell you what, man, we need a Will, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we took one linebacker, Junior Colson. It's just such a reach if we're going to use this as our board. That's the only problem. Yeah. I'm going to go Willie Drew here. It's showing he's the best available. It's a need as far as the needs that we had wrote down. So I'm going to stick to that. Again, we need a tight end, but we would have to reach a touch, right? They're showing that Willie Drew is the better of the tight ends. We just brought back Tyler Davis. You've also got Ben Sims, who did really well last year, in my opinion. I think he held his own. So you've already got four tight ends in the room. I'm going to go Willie Drew here. All right. So bang, that's in the bag. Let's save this one. And again, this is our post McKinney Jacobs draft. You guys can see the screen right now, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. So let me just go ahead and screen grab this. All right. So we went in the 25th pick. We went Kool-Aid McKinstry. He'll start opposite Jair, at least compete with Eric Stokes for that outside corner. 41 spot, we went Jackson Powers Johnson. I love that pick, boys. I absolutely love that pick. He can compete for starting center and right guard. Junior Colson will be your linebacker starting next to Quay Walker in the nickel. You will have Christian Haynes basically battling for the starting right guard spot. Josh Meyer is going to have some heat on his backside, boys, if they go this route. Because I think you line him up with Jackson Powers Johnson. I would not be surprised if Jackson Powers Johnson just boat races him in that head-to-head matchup. The pick that's going to catch the most criticism now that we have Josh Jacobs. Last week we got roasted for not taking a running back. Now we'll get roasted for taking a running back. Blake Corum in the 91 spot. We got Leonard Taylor, defensive lineman out of Miami in the 126 spot. Elijah Jones, cornerback from Boston College, reunited with Jeff Hafley out of 169. Malik Mustafa, safety out of Wake Forest at 202. I love that pick. That's a great pick. Xavier Thomas, edge defender out of Clemson at 219. Julian Pearl, offensive tackle out of Illinois at 245. And then Willie Drew at cornerback out of Virginia State at 255. Jacob, I'm going to leave you on the screen for just a second. You're not happy about this draft, are you, Bo?
I'm okay with it. I just don't like the Corum pick, and I don't like the last two. But other than that, I'm cool with it.
Gotcha. Okay. So Jacob does not like Blake Corum at 91. He does not like Julian Pearl at 245 and Willie Drew at 255. What do you think, Tim? How you feel about it, man?
I feel pretty good. Yeah, other than wasting my Rasul pick. Other than that, no, I think this is a pretty good mock, man, honestly. We covered a lot of our needs. I think we got good talent and good value with most of these picks. So, yeah, I'm happy. B+, A-, something like that.
It's pretty unanimous. No one likes the Blake Corum pick. So let me just kind of explain real quick. The reason I took him there, it was at 91, and I have him as the 39th best prospect in the draft. So you're talking about, I mean, if he falls that far, bro, like you're potentially getting the best running back in the draft, right? At the 91st spot. If he leapfrogs Emmanuel Wilson as the number two back and you got him and Josh Jacobs kind of coupled together, I like that. Again, it's trusting the boards what it comes down to. Now, if we had waited and gotten Frank Gore Jr., do you remember what pick that was, guys, that I said, man, we could have got Frank Gore? Was it 202? It was somewhere.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It was pretty far down. I have Frank Gore Jr. in the 59 spot. So he is just, what, 20 spots below Blake Corum overall. That probably would have been the better way to go. Hindsight's 2020. You don't know how the rest of the draft's going to play out. The value is just too good for me to pass up on Blake Corum. That's why I asked Jake, like, am I way off base here? But I think Jake agreed he would be okay in that spot, although we're going to get roasted on Twitter for it. So there you go.
SDN40 says, I like it, but it felt really weird.
That's what she said.
Michael, please. That might be the best That's What She Said we've had so far. I like it, but it felt weird. There you go. So, all right. SDN40 said, tackle is the only hole not addressed. Who's the backup?
That's what she said.
All right, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. That's why we took the tackle a little later there for sure. And again, you got Caleb Jones. You know, you can't bend the board to draft a backup player, is my opinion, right? It's different if, hey, the best player available just so happens to be a backup. I could live with that because injuries happen. But to bend the board, you know, and again, I'm not saying my board is the grand poobah of all boards. I'm just saying, like, I've got to trust it if that's what the exercise is going to be, right? So hopefully that answers that. That's a good point too, David. David Mitchell in the chat said, the Packers held on to Luke Tenuta for a swing, and the big guy Jones, I think, will be battling for swing tackle. Luke Tenuta, they're pretty high on. Now, he was hurt. Jacob, do you remember what his injury was? I can't remember. What was it that happened that kind of forced him on?
It was a pretty serious injury, I remember. I thought it was something with his knee, but they were really high on him and said that he was performing with the ones and twos and early. So I'm hopeful that he'll come back and hopefully help that floor.
Yeah. Somebody mark that John Kuhn United Airlines comment. I'm engaging Twitter right now to find out. I got to know what the heck's going on here. Go ahead and read that for me, boys. It should be right there at the bottom.
Someone please look at John Kuhn's X interaction with United Airlines face over hand emoji. We'll see.
Let's see here.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm not seeing it.
David Mitchell says it was a busted ankle for Tenuta.
Got it. Got a flat tire there, huh?
Caleb Jones, too, dealing with nagging injuries, too. So, you know, seeing him healthy might change things this year.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything on American Airlines. John Kuhn usually has some pretty funny takes on stuff like this. Like when him and that other guy went.
Whoa, Chad Inc.
What'd Chad Inc say?
He found glass in his food.
Oh, so it was the very first tweet. Oh, no. Wow. I seriously thought this only happened in the movies, but here is the glass that was in my food on my United flight. At least they gave me some miles to use for internet.
I'm just going to go ahead and use this platform to say this. I do not, cannot, and will not ever understand why anybody eats anything on an airplane other than that little packet of pretzels. Like, you are just not going to get me to eat anything from an airplane.
All right. I got to be real. Like when I get on the airplane, it's straightforward. They get the meat and cheese packet. It's sealed though, Tim. Sealed.
Yeah, see, anything like that, I'm okay. But I'm not having an entree on an airplane, bro.
That with a little Patron Silver on ice with some Sierra Mist. I'm like this. If this thing goes down, I don't even care. Hit something hard. Like what was it? Tater Salad said, hit something hard. I don't want to limp away from this. You know what I mean? No, it's I'm with you, Tim. Something that's actually cooked or seems like it's semi-prepared on the plane, that's a tough one for me too, man. No. I think I actually screenshotted it here. Yeah, here we go. Here's the tweet they're talking about. John Kuhn seriously thought this only happened in the movies, but here is the glass that was in my food on my United flight. At least they gave me some miles to use for internet. So you see the glass right there in the middle, man.
Sorry for the glass. Here's a $5 voucher.
It's funny how that works. Oh, yeah, we're sorry that the wheel fell off on takeoff, too. We'll get that fixed. We'll get that together. Pretty wild. But I will be flying up for the draft next year, so we look forward to that. We're locking down
your United flight or what?
I don't care. I fly the cheapest. Again, hit something hard.
Spirit Airlines. There you go.
I've lived a great life, man. If we had to cash it in today – I'm not
going to live life till you jump on a Spirit Airlines flight to Vegas, man. I'm telling you.
I bet, man. I bet. You look in the cockpit and Antonio Brown's up there hanging out. What's up, guys? just some random show. I love it. But we're locking down the Airbnb today. The plan right now is for us to fly up for the draft. We're going to be doing live draft shows, so we'll be able to keep the podcast going. This is for 2025, but the goal is during the day before and after the draft actually going live, we'll be hanging out in and around Titletown. We're going to get everybody together and just kind of chill, you know, get a little meet and greet. If someone wants to do a little tailgate and grilling out and stuff, we can help support that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the plan is for us to be in town for 2025. I'll tell you, boys, if you plan on going, get stuff squared away now. It is chaotic. It is absolute chaos. We're tossing around the idea to maybe even stay up towards Sturgeon Bay up in Door County just to kind of get out of the problem a little bit. But also, Tim, there's one on the east side of the river. We're looking at an old, old house. It looks really cool. Looks like it's going to be some spooks in that one, which I'm excited about. I don't care to listen to it
all night long. No shortage of old houses on the east side of Green Bay.
That's right. You got your pick.
That.
So we'll see how it goes. There's also a loft apartment downstairs we were looking at, or downtown, that looked really cool. It's fairly close to Green Bay's old front office buildings.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So you kind of get the best of both worlds being downtown. You know, you're absolutely east of the river, but not away from everything.
Yeah, walk over there to, the Northland Hotel, have a couple drinks in the Walnut Room, and then fall asleep on the couch in the lobby like I did last time, embarrass the hell out of Mandy. She was like, wake up, the Uber's here. What are you doing? I'm in there snoring. It was great. It was nice. Jacob, you got anything else before we go, bub?
No, man, that was a fun two drafts. Just one draft. I knew it wasn't going to happen. Right. Other than that, just a shout out to my little brother for his birthday. Happy birthday, Sam. Go Pack, go.
There you go. What's up, man? Hey. Happy birthday. That's what's up. Tim, you got anything?
We got to get the applause for that. Where is it here?
Where is the applause?
He's not that good of a guy. He don't deserve it.
We'll give him a... Yeah, that's it. He just gets a half of applause.
He just gets a little golf clap. That's it. You're done, right?
What up to Venom Slash? He told me that this is the first time he's been on here. So what's up, Venom?
There you go. Well, yeah, good to see you in here, man. All right, guys. Let's get out of here. Tim, you got anything?
No, man. Stop taking running backs at 91. We'll be all right.
What is going to be satisfactory for you with that Rasul Douglas pick, Tim? What would it take at 91 for you to go, okay, I'm cool with that now?
Another corner.
Imagine that. Somebody on the defensive side of the ball from 10. Didn't see that one coming. Someone brought this up yesterday. I'm going to keep this graphic pulled up now, or not pulled up, but in the shoot here so we can use it. They were asking about technique with offensive line. Me and Emilio were breaking it down. A little bit easier to see the visualization like here. So you see the positions, tackle, guard, center, guard, tackle, and then your Y, which is essentially your tight end. If you look at the numbers at the bottom, or the graphic at the bottom with the arrows, C gap, B gap, A gap, you see the A gap in between the center and the guard, the B gap between the guard and the tackle, and then the C gap outside of the tackle. Your D gap is on the outside shoulder of the Y, which is the tight end. Now, if you look on the upper part, you see those numbers. That gives you a perfect description of what techniques we were talking about on defensive line. The zero right over the center, the one on the shoulder or in between the gap of the center and the guard. Notice the 2i. The 2i is on the inside shoulder of the guard. The 4i is on the inside shoulder of the tackle. The 3 is closer to the outside shoulder of the guard. The 1 is closer to the outside shoulder of the center. Just a little graphic there. Again, we were trying to describe it last night, and we pulled it up offline just to kind of give you guys a little bit better visualization. So there you go. When you hear
us, like a new Rashawn Gary tattoo or something right there, that'd be add that to the sleeve.
Going on the forearm. Speaking of that, we got a bunch of people in here. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. If you're watching on Twitter, and I know there's a herd that are, you can click on my YouTube link in my Twitter profile, and that'll send you directly to the YouTube page where you can sub there. And if you hop in there, it's easier interface for you to include yourself in the chat and be able to communicate with everybody who's watching and all that good stuff. So just want to let you know, if you're cool with watching on Twitter, that's totally fine. But some people are like, man, I'm not able to chat. I think you got to have like a Twitter premium subscription or something for that too. On YouTube, you do not have to have that. So just hop over there and sub, and you'll see when we go live on YouTube every time. So appreciate everybody hanging out with us. So this is a lot of fun. Also, use your pinky, smash that like button for us. All right. That way we can, Jacob, look at the screen. What are you doing?
Hold on.
Okay.
I don't know what's worse, John Kuhn's airplane shot there or what we're looking at now. I don't know what's more scary.
I think I know what's more scary. This right here. I'd rather choke on glass and my pinky be dangling, bro. That's real hey, kudos to our man, Larry McCarron, and also his fellow former offensive lineman there, Anthony Munoz. So it's just part of the game, Jacob, part of the game, man. So anyway, we'll see you guys tonight. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We'll be live at 7 Central, 8 Eastern for PTA Live. We may do another mock. I don't want to mock people to death. People either love them or hate them. I'm either getting cussed out offline because I didn't do a mock draft today, or I'm getting cussed out for doing one. So I'm just trying to make everybody happy. But we got to get through this info anyway. Again, thanks everybody for hanging out. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. Two tips today.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
All right, we'll see you guys tonight. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.